Good morning again.
Good morning.
You know, if you realize when we started this year, we have been looking on the call of God, right? Because I think all of us believe, and when we look at scriptures very carefully, from the time God created, you know, God has a purpose behind, right? Even when you look at nature, God had a purpose, right? When you look at the people that God created, I think God always had a purpose. And so the past few weeks, we have been looking at the call, right? We started looking at the call of Isaiah. God called him because God had a purpose in his mind. See, it's very interesting, you know, when you look at scriptures, God does not just create us and just leave us alone, right? He has a plan for our lives. He has a purpose for us. He has a ministry that is given to us, and he wants us to fulfill whatever that he has for us. Now, we also looked at Gideon, right? We looked at Jeremiah, and we also looked at David. If you realize, all these people were a bit more hesitant and saying, Lord, maybe you came to the wrong address. It is not me, right? But many times, I know that's how we also react when God calls us to a particular task, right? A task which is beyond our imagination. Maybe it's not our set skills, but God calls us, and how do we respond? Today, I just want to look at this particular character, Elisha, right? Some people pronounce it that Elisha, some will say Elisha. Have you read about him? Wow. Any others? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, it's interesting, let me tell you, if you look at the Old Testament characters, you know, we draw a lot of things, a lot of lessons from the Old Testament characters. You know, if you hear the word Elijah, people know about Elijah. Elijah was a rough man, a tough guy, right? But Elisha was much more greater, if you look at the scriptures. But many times he's very silent, but God used him tremendously. So we are going to spend some time today, you know, looking at Elisha and some of the lessons that we can learn from him. And what is God, you know, saying to us, right? And how do we respond to the call of God? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of worshiping you, God, for the joy of knowing you. Lord, as we spend some time looking at this particular passage, we ask, God, that you would speak to us, Father. Lord, we do not want to hear a voice of a man, but we just want to hear the voice of your Spirit, O God, because your word is alive. Your word is active, Father. It speaks to us. Lord, it's sharper than the two-edged sword. And so, Lord, we pray that even today, Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me start with a question. Have you done some, you know, change in your careers? For example, you know, after you work for a company for a couple of years, then you move to another one. Have you done it? No? Okay. Yes? 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 You know, it's very interesting. I didn't look at a study, but I realized, you know, many a times what happens, we are here with a company for a particular period of time, right? And then what happens, then we look at the other side, you know, because we want to be adventurous, right? We want to broaden our skills, broaden our perspectives. And so what happens, we go to another company because not only the paycheck is good, right? The benefits are good because we want to be exposed to different things, environment, all that. So we do a shift, right? And that is normal in today's society and all that, right? But have you done something which is totally different? In other words, you have been trained with a particular career, right? Education, and this is your profession for many years, but you're moving to another profession which is totally different. That's the career change I'm talking about, which is totally different. For example, you are a businessman, right? You know about business, you know about import, export, and all that. And suddenly someone is calling you to be something totally different, which is not your cup of tea. You have not been exposed to this, right? And what do we do? What do we do? I think many a times, I think, you know, we realize, you know, am I the right person? Because I don't have the set skills. I do not know, you know, how to do this because I'm a trained businessman or I'm a trained accountant. Right? I can't go into a law profession because I do not know anything about law. Or I can't become a medical personnel because I don't know anything about medical science, right? Or biology. I know numbers. Can you remember that kind of career change, right? What do? Right? There's a lot of demands over there. You're exposed to a different environment. You're just thrown into an ocean. And how do we react? The passage that we are looking today, it's about Elisha, right? Can you imagine? He was a farmer, right? His grandfather was a farmer, I believe. His father was a farmer. All his family members were farmers. They know the ground pretty well. They know when it's harvest time. They know when to plow the land. They know when the rain is coming. They know the seasons are going to change. They know anything, everything about agriculture because he's born into a farmer's family and this is his job, right? But what's happening? God is calling him to be a prophet. God is not calling him to say, you know, Elisha, no, you're a farmer. I want you to export the things. You might say, yes, it's just a minor shift in my work. But it is totally different. You've been working on the field, grains, oxen, cows, but I want you to work with people. He would say, Lord, you know, I've been just working with farms. I know everything about agriculture, but what about working with people? You know, can you imagine that kind of a career change? I was just looking at this particular passage and asking myself, you know, how, right? And how did Elijah respond? Just to give you a background of the passage that we are reading, right? Just to give you a background, if you look at 1 Kings chapter 19, what's happening, you know, if you look at chapter 18 and 19, you know, Elijah is in a hot soup. In other words, Jezebel was just coming up to him, right? She wanted to kill all the prophets. And so she was just coming after Elijah too. And Elijah was literally running. Right? He was just hiding himself. If you look at the passage very carefully, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 19, there was one time in verse 3, it says, Elijah was afraid. He ran for his life. Then he was hiding and he told God, Lord, I want to die. I can't. This is too much for me. Can you imagine? Elijah was a strong prophet, a rugged guy. He was a bold man. He was a bold voice of God, you know. And he was saying, Lord, I'm afraid, right? I want to die. You know, it is becoming too tough. And so he was just running around. And then God told him in chapter 19, the same particular passage, he realized, God says, you know, Elijah, I want you to go back. I just want you to go back and I want you to anoint Elisha, right? To be the prophet to take your place. And that was the call that God gave him. Let me tell you, it was not an easy journey like what we think, you know. It's not so easy that we know from Markham we drive to Scarborough. Because we realize his life was under attack. Jezebel was just after him. And so it was a long journey. Right, and so he traveled. He comes, he obeys God, right, and he comes. And the passage that we are reading today, right? He went and he found Elisha, right? He found Elisha, and what was Elisha doing? He was plowing the land with 12 oxen, yoke of oxen. He himself was driving the 12 pair, right? Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Right? Can you imagine what's happening? Elisha is a farmer. He was doing his job, right? He wanted to support his family. Probably he wanted to increase the wealth. In those days, if you have one oxen, you're a rich guy. Can you imagine? He had 12. He's a very wealthy man. Probably he's having a lot of bank balances. Life is good because I'm blessed. I'm wealthy. I have all the resources that I need in life. And so what's happening? He's here and he was doing his family business and everything changes. Can you imagine? He's doing everything, is comfortable. He has the security that is needed in his life and everything changes in a moment, in a minute. What's happening? You know, I like the way Elijah reacts. He comes, and he threw his cloak around him. I do not know whether Elijah even introduced himself. He came, he threw the cloak around him. If I do that, what would you do? I know you will complain to my wife. Simo, what's happening to Pastor Vincent? Right? Did he have breakfast? Can you imagine? He walks, he threw his cloak, and he's just walking. Right? What's happening? He's like, you know, and everything is going to change. And it was very interesting because Elisha knew, you know, that everything is going to change, right, in his life. And this is what God is going to do. And so, what happened? If you look at it, you know, Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Can you imagine? He knew immediately. He knew that his life is changing. He knew that God is calling him into the office of a prophet. A gift of prophecy had been given to him. He knew that from a plowman, from a farmer, I'm becoming a prophet, a mouthpiece of God. He knew immediately, you know, that things is going to change. It's not so easy the way I'm putting it, but let me tell you, you know, when God calls, right, there's a lot of demands. I believe when you became a Christian, you know, I do not know who counseled you, you know. Yes, sometimes you think, you know, becoming a Christian is easy. Let me tell you, you know, there are a lot of demands, my friend. There are a lot of demands into him. Many times when I, you know, preach at the baptism service, you know, I hear the testimonies of people, and I realize when I read the testimonies and I hear them, I realize, you know, they know there are demands. And so what's happening here? When I look at the particular passage very carefully, you know, I realize there is a new priority, you know, that Elisha knew that's going to happen. Can you imagine the passage that we just read? It's a passage that says he left everything, right? His oxen. The word in the Hebrew means he abandoned everything. He deserted. That's almost the same word, right, that is used. When you marry, what happens? You leave your household and you're joined with your wife. That's the word that is used here, right? He abandoned everything. His security, his wealth, and this is what belongs to me. This is mine, and this is my identity. He leaves everything, and he knows that is going to be a new priority. What kind of priority? When you look at it very carefully, you know, he knew very well that who's going to be the master. Elijah is going to be the master. For a moment, when I was reading this particular passage, he's a wealthy guy from a wealthy family. Probably he will say, you know, I'm the master. I have control over, I have wealth, so I can do things. But now that's a new priority that's happening. He has to follow Elijah. Elijah is going to call the shots, right? Elijah is going to be the boss, the guide. He's going to be the leader, right? There is going to be a major shift that's going to happen in my life. Dear friends, I think that is one of the main causes when you come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a change in our priorities. It is no more I. That's why Paul says, it is no more I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. There is a change in my priority. My life is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. My career is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though when I work, I'm saying, Lord, I want to please you. In my family, I'm not the boss. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to honor the Lord. I want to bring glory to God because He's the center of my life, in my career, even in my school. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I honor Him even in my studies, even in my relationship, even all the decisions that I make? That is a new priority. Elijah is going to call the shots, my friend. You know, Elisha was willing. There is a change in his schedule, right? And Jesus is going to be the main person if you're a Christian. So Christianity doesn't mean, you know, just confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes, that's the start of Christianity. That's just the beginning, my friend. But each and every day, you know, Christ becomes our priority. Not on a Sunday alone, but each and every day, our decisions, right? Even the things that we plan for our lives, for our families, our finances, right? Do we see God as a priority? When we eat our food, I was just telling the four kids, right? Am I grateful for God who has been so wonderful, who has provided? Do I see grace and acknowledge his greatness in my life? A new priority that happens, right? Secondly, what happens? Realize in 1 Kings chapter 19, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He said, "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye." And then the verse goes, right? Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they eat. What's happening here, right? What's happening here? You know, when I look at the passage, I realize there is a new identity, right? He says, "I want to go back, right? I want to kiss my parents." In other words, I want to show my affection to them, my love to them. And not only that, you know, I'm saying that I have a new identity now. I'm going to be a prophet. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm just going to be, you know, just be under His guidance. He's going to be my master. And so what's happening? He is, you know, living. He's saying that I have a new identity. And not only that, what's happening here, you know, he brought the village people and says, you know, I let me cook. And that's a sacrifice that's even happening, right? It's no more I, right? He took the yoke of oxen, he slaughtered them. In the Hebrew context, you know, many times it's seen as a worship, right? I'm just sacrificing and acknowledging that I am in a relationship with this God and I have Christ. I have a new identity, not only a priority, but I have an identity with the Lord. And he welcomes the people and, you know, he cooks for them, you know, so that probably, you know, that it also means that he's declaring to his people. He's telling his people, you know, what's happening, you know, I have a new identity. And so people will be aware Elijah has responded to the call of God. One of the reasons is, I was looking at it, probably I thought, one of the reasons is after a few years, you know, if he goes back to the trade, people will tell him, you know, you're not supposed to, because what happened? You cooked for us, right? You used the plowing equipment and you cooked. Your call is a different call. God has called you, Elijah. And so he wanted his people to know, he wanted his people to witness that he has a new identity, he has a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was also communicating that to his parents, to his loved ones, that I have a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I look at this particular verse, I always ask myself, you know, do I burn, right, the oxen that I am beholden to? Am I willing to sacrifice the thing that holds me back from totally following the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I boldly say that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that my identity is with the Lord? You know, many times, you know, as Christians, we still struggle. You know, we want to go back. You know, can you imagine? He burns everything because I don't want to associate. That's my own life, right? I just want to give 100% of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we struggle, right? We struggle to surrender. We struggle to, you know, burn the things that actually we are beholden to. That stops us from having a true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's so powerful, right? And then what happens, you know, when, let me finish with this. You know, he goes. Can you imagine? I know some of you have graduated from, theological schools, right? And some of you have graduated from different programs, right? Particularly when you are in theological school, when you graduate, and when you go to a church, you always think that you can change the world upside down, right? You think, oh, yes, I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to be a minister, I'm going to be a youth pastor, whatever it is. No, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Probably, I do not know whether Elisha also thought like that, right? But what happens in this? Look at a particular passage. It says, he cooked everything, cooked the meat and gave it to the people and they ate it. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Come on, he's called to be a prophet. I do not know whether the writers were very careful when they wrote this word. He became his servant. What, God was calling him to be a prophet? And in Kings we read, what's happening? He became the servant of Elijah. That's a new relationship that he's having. You know, that's the relationship, you know. Many a times what happens, you know, that's how, people, when they graduate from theological schools, right? Even when I graduated from my school, you know, I was thinking, you know, I can change the world upside down kind of a stuff, right? The church is not going to be same anymore. It's going to be totally different. But it says he became his servant. Come on, Elisha, what's happening here? Right? He's having a new relationship. And that new relationship is a wonderful relationship. It's a relationship of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's serving his master. Serving is very important, my friend. Not only that, and what kind of serving was he doing? It says he became his servant. Look at the word very carefully, right? When the king, Jehoshaphat, you know, wanted a prophet to come, right? Because he wanted to know certain things. He wanted to inquire of the Lord. So they said, you know, there is a person called Elisha. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. That was his work. Can you imagine? And that was the work of Elisha. He was just pouring water into the hands of Elijah. He was a servant. He was like a, you know, I can't imagine. God called me to be a prophet, right? To be his mouthpiece. And you know, if you look at the passage very carefully, Elisha was doing it for not 6 months. You know, many times, you know, when you go into a church, they give you 3 months probation, or they might give you a 1 month probation. Even in your workplace, they give you 1 year probation, you know, something like that. But you know how long he was doing this? Can you guess? Not 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years. For 18 years, he was a servant. And he was pouring water into the hands of Elijah. When I look at this particular passage, and I was telling myself, you know, it's so powerful, right? Serving is the pathway, and serving is important. It's a pathway to greatness. You know, many a times we want to change the world upside down, but God wants us to start becoming a servant. The things we might think, you know, this is not what I want to do, but God says, this is what I want you to do, to serve Elijah, pour water into the hands of Elijah for the 18 years. And God, I believe, you know, God was looking at his faithful, whether he was faithful in the service that was given to him. Elisha was faithful. He was doing. You know, it's important for us, right? Many a times, I think many of us, or some of us, right, like to be leaders immediately. But no, let me tell you, my friend, God wants us to be servants, to serve him. And that's the way for 18 years this man was doing it. And if you look at scriptures very carefully, you know, that's what Jesus told us, right? Whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. Right? He has to be a servant. You know why? Because even Jesus became a servant for us, my friend. You know, and that was what Elijah is teaching us. He became a servant. He was serving. He was serving. Wherever he was serving faithfully. He was pouring water into the hands of Elijah faithfully, without, you know, without hesitation. He was just faithful in the task that was given to him. He was sincere for the past 18 years. You know what happened? God used him tremendously. God used him tremendously. When you look at the passages very carefully, some of you might have read in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, he asked Elijah, you know, I want double portion. When Elijah was, you know, going, he was returning towards heaven, he was asking Elijah, give me double portion. I look at the studies very carefully. Elijah did 14 great miracles. Elisha did 28 powerful miracles. 28. You know why? He was faithful. Just pouring water. Just being the servant of Elijah. 18 years just running, doing whatever the master wanted to do. And God blessed him tremendously, more than his master. Elijah did 14. Look at your biblical commentaries and all that. This man did 28, double. And the things he did was, I'm not comparing, was much more great. Was much more great. You know why? Dear friends, I think there are demands of when God calls us. He knew there is a new priority. Immediately he left. Right? Immediately he left. And he knew that I'm no more, right, with my old stuff, and I will respond. Remember when I was, when God called me into full-time ministry, it took me almost 3 years. I was contemplating. I was struggling, and I knew pretty well that God called me. I was trying to find some kind of excuse. I was not like Elijah, right, who immediately responded through his security, right, his wealth, and he said, here am I. It was a struggle. But when we respond the way Elijah responded, when we say, you know, I'm burning my old stuff, I'm just have a new identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, right, and I'm just going to serve him and be faithful wherever he places me, God will do tremendous things. Let's pray.